how does Toronto get better, Mike? Because, like, we both really like Hyman, and now they have some cap space. They don't have as much as maybe we all thought they were going to if Kerfoot got off the books. Like, Dubas protected this roster, and we can get to that in a little bit, but where do you see the first path to improvement, whether it's using your cap space or making a trade?
Well, I would be wherever he's at. I'd be driving right to Mick Foligno's house and making sure that he's going to still be a part of the fold. I mean, I trumpeted that trade when it happened last year. And it's the worst scenario for any kind of general manager. We did it. We added Andre Sekera, who's known Nick Foligno, a week before or 2 weeks before the deadline. And he immediately blew his leg out and couldn't play, which clearly I still think a healthy Nick Foligno, I hate beating up the Montreal series, but I think if they have a healthy Nick Foligno, they get through that series and allow Tavares a chance to heal. I just think he represents everything that they need. He's obviously an older version, but I think he alone is the one guy that I call him 20. There's certain leaders, and I don't want to be too derivative. There's certain leaders that their entire disposition changes when their game isn't going well, right? It's just a natural thing. If Eichel's a type of cap guys that actually wear the C, right? When their individual game isn't going well, they lose the ability to lead because they're really concerned about themselves. For me, Nick Foligno is a 24/7 leader. If Nick Foligno's having a bad game, he's from that old school realm that he knows to go out and grab somebody, you know, do something that's not game related to change the mental. He brings the fight to the game, and I just think that he becomes such a prolific piece for the Leafs now. I don't think if Hyman was back that they would have had the money to go after Nick. I think now, and it also, you're not erasing a wrong or anything, but it also allows you to make more justification out of what you gave up in the first place because he doesn't leave the tent. But I just, a player like that becomes critical to me. I don't know what other names you were bouncing around about. I mean, like, obviously guys like Blake Coleman and stuff are going to be up for big raises. Guys that just play two ways. I mean, Deneau now is probably just licking his chops, knowing that that's what Hyman got. You know, I know what I'm in the grounds for, whether somebody's going to give it to him or not. But it's an interesting, I think that conscious decision now to bring in somebody that has that it factor, which Hyman has, which Foligno clearly has. Again, it'd be like, I hear stuff like, oh, you know, God, the Leafs linked to Tarasenko. That is the last thing the Leafs need right now.
No, I don't think so. You
know, and I know it seems to be, but they're not doing it. But I mean, you hear them linked to play, like, there's, you've got a guy that, you know, struggled to be a good teammate in St. Louis, but he can just shoot the puck, eventually shoot the puck, and that's his game. And he plays when he wants to, but when he plays, it's pretty remarkable. Pretty remarkable what he can pull off. But they need to have guys that fit into that chemistry factor that they say they have, and guys that can, you know, really keep driving home that point to Matthews doesn't need it. Marner certainly needs it. Just to, you know, Nylander looked like he was starting to get it, but that this team just doesn't take any step backward from hunger factor.
I love the Foligno ideal. I've been trumpeting it for a while now. I was also a big fan of the trade. It just seems there's at least a lot of rumblings he wants to go to Minnesota and play with his brother. And if you have to overpay for Nick, I don't know at this stage of his career. But to me, the whole goal of the offseason for Kyle Dubas needs to be, we're remaking this third line into a line that has an identity. And if that identity starts with Nick Foligno playing on the left wing of a third line, and with the possibility of, with an injury, he can play up, or if a Robertson thing doesn't work out, he can play up. I think that you've started in a good position. So what about just the protections with the draft? Because a lot of people have been criticizing Kyle Dubas for making the McCann trade, giving up Hallander in a seventh, which who cares, but ultimately losing Jared McCann and protecting the roster that maybe had he done things a little bit differently, if they were interested in Kerfoot, you add a couple of guys to your protection list that are forwards and you expose Kerfoot only and no McCann. My counter to it was, I still believe that Justin Hall is more valuable than McCann to this team because he makes $2 million. But then when I saw the list of defensemen that Seattle chose and who they were picking from, I wondered and said, well, maybe this actually comes down to, would the Kraken have taken Justin Hall? So that's kind of a two-part question for me. Is like, what did you think of Kyle Dubas' job when it came to protections in the McCann situation? And two is, do you think that Justin Hall, when you look at the Kraken's roster, would have been their pick over Kerfoot had they both been exposed?
It's a tough question because there's so many moving parts to it, but I'll give it a shot here. First of all, you always love your own more than others. I mean, there are certain players when we were in Los Angeles that we just coveted that it's incredible. And we were like, wow, if we ever put him on the market, can you imagine the door would be beaten down and other teams. And then when it came to getting on the phone, you just found that other teams just didn't feel as strongly about that player as you do. So you tend to love your own and respect your own a little bit more than the people on the outside looking in. And that's how you have to make a trade. You have to find somebody that loves what you've got as much as you love it to make a deal make any sense. Now, clearly, in Kyle's case, they feel strongly about that. So you can criticize, but they feel strongly about it. I mean, I personally think he's done well, and I think for the amount of minutes he plays, Hall and his number, and clearly being a great teammate, that you know it makes sense to try and keep him. Now, they obviously feel the same way about Kerfoot as well. So I think if you don't want to lose, I guess they would have exposed.
They would have exposed Hall.
Who in the back end was still available? Puck moving deep. But I think what they've done for a seventh round pick, basically what I'm saying, if you give up a seventh round pick and a prospect that's not a part of your plans allow you to maintain a roster that internally as a staff you say these guys we want to keep and build from, then it's a smart move. And it's not a bad toll to pay to keep the guys you wanted to protect. It's protected. Now you can debate amongst yourselves whether those guys are worth protecting. But that's what they decided as a group, and you know what? Now they have to build out from there, and they've got some added cap space to add some pieces. I still think personally that, I mean, getting another goaltender is critical. I like as much as we beat up and how much we love Jack, I think they need another goaltender that either challenges Jack or is at least on par with him as far as the back end. I think they need to add another solid defense. I know I always keep hearing we need another top six forward. I don't believe that. I would take Nick Foligno 100 times over another top. Like, I think he's such a bigger fit right now, particularly than a guy like a Taylor Hall or anything like that. That you've got to have that leadership and conscience. It's a 24/7 leader, and that's what I call him. Nick Foligno, what he brings to a dressing room, and then there's a lot of room to do. I mean, you look at that Kraken roster right now, and I mean, I agree with you. It's like, but I truly think there's a lot more movement that's going to take place prior to with that. And off that roster, the way it looks when they drop the puck against Vancouver, then I think, you know, rightfully so, there might be some eyebrows raised. But right now, I think there's a lot more moving pieces than people know about.
Okay, thank you. So I tried to stay. Yesterday, I was with family. You know, it was a day where I got to visit with a lot of people outside and give myself some space from just the Twitter discourse around the Kraken. And I was watching the event, but I was also watching the Jays at the same time and kind of like flipping back and forth to looking at the two things. But ultimately, when I looked at the Kraken roster, I thought, okay, and I don't know if you heard any of my diatribe off the top of the show, but Ron Francis kept saying over and over and over again that he very much valued cap space, and that was very evident to me with that roster. What did you just make of the job he's done so far? Like, those picks, that team? Because, yeah, I don't know who are you selling Mark Giordano to Seattle? Like, I don't know who the face is of this right now.
First off, I mean, the day was a bit of a bust anyways with the team kind of being announced. As far as must-see TV, it was not, in my opinion, and it's such a beautiful city, but just in general, I felt it was like, you know, between guys going up and not knowing. I mean, you can at least, if you got one job to do, at least kind of pronounce the guy's name properly.
No, it was a horrible television event. Yeah. I don't know how it was so bad.
if you got to play a cue card in your hand for 10 minutes, you can have somebody tie with on the other side. It wasn't like they're open up Oscar award-winning things and rather be surprised the first time you see it. But it was, in general, I just felt there was some, for an organization that I think is going to be, the one thing I do know, they're going to have an incredible facility, incredible staff. I mean, they've got money to spend everywhere, so they're not going to be an organization that cheats it. I don't think they're going to be thrilled with the way they came across from just an optics and the lack of surprises. That being said, I think there's some good young pieces. I do think in the back end, there's some players that I really like. I love the electric pickup. I think Larson was starting to come into his own. Clearly, I thought Gio, you know, dear to my heart, he's going to provide them that leadership. And I think that expiring contract, if they're not where they need to be, they're going to get a first and something for him. I would be surprised if they have trades already done for any of the guys that were on the stage there. I think that would be a very good start if you're bringing in a guy that you know you've got a side deal trade done with to go walk out in your jersey. That would be problematic for me. So I would think that if there are deals to be made, it probably involves somebody that wasn't on that stage. But it would be, everybody says at 1 o'clock, you're going to hear, there's not so many that we got, we got a two firsts or we got a player in this to take this player, but there's going to be a lot of this player is being moved for this. Now, as you said, first time they saw, I don't know what you said, the first time I saw the Vegas thing, I was like, wow, you know, they would have just a sack of grinders, right? Who's going to score on that team?
Yep.
And they found a way to come together. Now, this group, kind of very similar. I like the defense that they can put together. I love the fact they picked up Curtis McDermott, who's a legit heavyweight, but I have no idea. I think the guy said he's a third-line left winger, and I'm like, holy smokes, he hasn't played wing since Pee Wee's, but it's just, again, doing your homework, and I think there's going to be some, they're going to have cap space to add a couple veterans to make this product better, but Ronnie's a very meticulous thinker, and they would have put a lot of thought and effort into it, but again, you can't, I think this one's way too, I think like they're just putting the brush to the board here, so I don't think you can evaluate the painting yet. It's just that's our job to have opinions of it. But I think this one's far from being done, even for what you're going to see against Vancouver on open night.
Yeah, and I'm trying to hold back hot takes because one part of the lesson that I think we learned with Vegas was there were a lot of really good players in this league that not a lot of people know about. You know, so making these like quick judgments of, well, that pick stinks or that pick is this or that pick is that, it can come back to bite you in the ass, right? So there's some of these guys that I have really no feeling of, like Philadelphia, the pick from Philadelphia I looked at and really was shocked by because they had multiple pieces that I thought were, at least guys who I know and I'm familiar with and would have thought, okay, they're going to go with this. They went in a different direction, whatever. So I get that. The only part of me that looks at the Vegas thing, because I did look at Vegas's roster yesterday. I think actually Tim and Friends put up a graphic of them side by side. It was like, who did better? And you look at that original Vegas roster, and it is as unsexy as it gets. And you have to remember that, hey, they didn't have Mark Stone when they drafted that team. They didn't draft Mark Stone. They didn't draft Max Pacioretty, right? Like, they've made pieces. Petrangelo, exactly. Like, they moved things around, and some guys ended up being studs, and some guys were misevaluated by their former franchises, and maybe they're going to mine some gold. The one difference, and I was talking about this with Mark Mathot yesterday, because he was technically drafted by Vegas, but then he was one of those guys that got flipped, was how when you did have Marc-Andre Fleury, there was at least a signaling to those guys that some urgency with this roster was there, that you were trying to win, that you were trying to kind of put your best foot forward because you had a good goaltender, a veteran goaltender, and someone who is like universally respected around hockey. And I really thought they had a similar thing of, you can go get Carey Price and you can build that same piece of, hey, we are building something here for the future, absolutely, but we also want to win now. We want to have a face to sell, to put on tickets, to put on the side of the building. You bring a new hockey fan down to Seattle and you say, that right there is one of the best goaltenders in the world, and that's the face of our franchise. And what that does in the room, what that does to the city, what that does to the live event, and I don't know. I don't have Carey Price's medical reports. You don't have them. It is a hefty cap hit, but to me, that was the one place where I'm already ready to criticize them for. I'm already willing to say, without, again, seeing those medical records, that missing on an opportunity to get a guy who is one of the most respected in the game and who can still bring it at that A-level talent as we just saw in the Stanley Cup Finals for a bunch of backups and what could-bes was a really tough thing to swallow if I have any rooting interest in Seattle.
That's fair. I think I'm going to hold off until I see what exactly unless there is some additional compensation and that there was Carey Price was significantly injured, which I felt was a bit of the timing of it had a little bit of a different aroma to it. But the other thing I would say is I think that's an area where I clearly agree with it being a strong goaltending free agency group. If they add another piece now, like a $5 million goaltender, that's a legit number one, then I feel a little bit better about it. I mean, if you're starting season and no offense, looks good on Dredger and I think it was Decord and like Metallic or something out of Washington. But I mean, if that's your starting three, then I'm hanging on with you. And that's the one position that you can send a message to everybody that we're gonna have a chance to be in every game because we've got a proven commodity. And no offense, Dredger could end up being what he is, but he's got such a small sample size that's a major crapshoot. So now, if all of a sudden they roll out one of these top free agent goaltenders, then I feel a little bit better about it. Or they have a trade in place to add a goaltender that's going to make you go, okay, now that makes sense. But I really felt there was very little downside and tons of upside to taking Carey Price. And I was especially seeing what else was available. No offense to who was chosen. But I agree with you 100%. But I don't beat it up too much till I have the entire evidence of what happened. But I do think having his name and that would have been an instant. I mean, as much as I love Gio, Carey Price is the first ballot Hall of Famer who just came off taking a team to a Stanley Cup again. You know, probably going to be Canada's Olympic goalie again. So there's no signs that he's not quite on the other side of the mountain yet. So it'd be quite interesting to see if there's more of a story for that one.